Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org.
Well, good morning. I guess that's the second time I've said good morning. I feel like I'm several different people today. My split personality has been multiplied, I guess. So, all right. So, you know, I have to share, because I almost think it fits the sermon as well, that as Beverly was doing the reading from Luke, and what shall we do, and if you have more than one cloak, give yours away, and don't take more than you deserve or to which you're entitled. And there's a passage that goes with that in Malachi as well, and I always remember that it's used to encourage people for tithing as well, to give, you know, and to understand that what you give could be multiplied and come back to you, but that's not the point. Well, when we were raising our children and they were very young, my son kicked up a friendship with the little boy next door, and he wanted the little boy next door to go to Sunday school with him. And so he came in and said, Mom, I want him to come to Sunday school with me, but his mother says that he doesn't have any clothes to wear. And I said, well, he can come in whatever he wants. He said, I know, but his mother thinks he should wear like a suit or something, you know. And back then, just so you know, my children are way old. I'm not, but my children are, okay? And So it was a long time ago, and yes, they were wearing suits, and Ted had two suits. He had a favorite suit, and then he had one that he just never wore. And he said, you know, I could let him wear mine, could give him mine. And I thought, sure, he was going to give him the one he didn't want, but he chose to give him the one that was his favorite suit. And in order to do that, he was left with one that he just never wanted to wear. And so the little boy went to Sunday school, I guess. I don't remember how that went. I just thought in my son's heart, what a wonderful thing. Well, wouldn't you know, along about Tuesday or Wednesday that week, my sister-in-law stopped by. She had a bag of hand-me-downs from her son. And in the bag of hand-me-downs, three sharp, absolutely tip-top for a little boy in grade school suits. Wow. So it's not that that in that passage Jesus was talking about giving so you get, and none of our giving is supposed to be so we receive anyway. But the blessing of giving sacrificially is so real. It's so real. Well, we're going to be speaking again about walking with the faithful. We've been doing that through the Advent season, and water from the well this week. We have talked about Mary. We talked about, somebody remind me. I know the second one was about the trees and the figs on the tree, and look at all the trees and understand all of those. I've forgotten my own first sermon point. I had it here, but anyway, we've talked about walking with the faithful. We talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth and when John was going to be born. Now, we will be turning to Isaiah 12 later, but I wanted to ask you if I told you that while I was sitting over there, I checked my phone, and there was a message on it that said, all the water in Cape Elizabeth has been turned off until tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. How many of you would go, I got to get out of here and get some bottled water. I'm going to be thirsty. I'm going to need to clean and all of that. I would too. I would suddenly be even more thirsty than I am right this minute. And don't worry, I don't even have my phone over there. So there's no message. Cape Elizabeth is just fine. But water from the well is on my mind, and I thought that was something for us to remember. And let me tell you about a time when I actually thought I had died and gone to the wrong place because I was so thirsty, okay? I had traveled to South Florida way back. I was going to interview with a church board. That was the beginning of my move to South Florida. But I was down there to interview with a church board, and it turns out that it was the weekend Hurricane Charley decided to visit Southern Florida, right smack in our neck of the woods. But when all was said and done, less than 2 miles from us, the path of that hurricane had just wiped out great long strips of land, but we were fine. You know, a little bit of wind, but we were fine. So by Monday morning, I was so grateful we had been missed and so conscious of being somewhat of a princess in my real life, I decided it was about time I volunteered to help victims. I was in a perfect place to do so. So I made some calls to the district leadership, and I learned that there was a little church a couple of hours northeast of us where there was some pretty serious property damage, and the pastor up there needed help cleaning. In our area, teams were going to places, and people were doing massive assistance. But so I made a phone call, acknowledged that I wasn't big on manual labor, but that I had a day to offer him if he could find something for me to do. I kind of thought maybe, I don't know, calls, paper things he needed done or something. I also cautioned him that I was in Fort Myers 2 hours from there, and I wasn't much of an early riser. You know how important that is to me, sleeping in. So when you volunteer, you know you're allowed to be a little bit, you know, self-serving at the same time. So he said, sure. He had plenty that I could do. In fact, how about if I came Tuesday at 9 a.m.? Okay, now maybe for you, getting up 2 hours ahead of 9 a.m., meaning 7 o'clock, getting up and dressed and everything at 6, maybe that doesn't sound early, but I thought, okay, but I'm volunteering. But I said, sure, I can do that. So I didn't expect that I was going to be the only volunteer he had besides his spouse. But sure enough, he was out trying to figure out how to get, and don't worry, I didn't have to do this, had a humongous tree down across the property, the church property. And he was, I don't know what he was trying to figure out to do, but that was his job for the day. And so he was happy to stop and take me to the second floor where there was an all-purpose small space, an all-purpose space where the young people were going to be coming in and visiting and sharing together on Wednesday afternoon. The fierce winds had blown all the windows in, so there was just shattered glass everywhere. There were tree limbs and branches, and there was dirt, and it was a real mess. And he gave me a broom. Paul would have said, did he tell you how to use a broom? He gave me a broom and a garbage pail, and he wished me luck and said he would check back with me. By the way, I had kind of a sense later that he was maybe a little uncomfortable coming into this small space with me, because every time he checked, his head popped up over in the window. He would stand on a ladder and see how I was doing from the outside, and I thought that was kind of cute. But he did check on me a couple of times during that time. So doesn't sound like a bad job, I suppose, to the rest of you. It was August. I'm from Maine. I can't wait for it to snow. I'm looking for the snow. The heat isn't much. And, of course, there'd been a hurricane. There was no electricity in the building. There was no AC. So within half an hour, I was drenched. I was soaked from top to bottom. Perspiration was so salty, it was hurting my eyes. And I truly thought I might have a heart attack before I was finished with this. But I was determined, and I had that place as neat as anyone could in about 2 hours or so, something like that. A pastor said, peeking up over the window, okay, I'll meet you downstairs in the big sanctuary size all-purpose room, and you can have some orange soda. Are you thirsty? Oh, my word. Was I thirsty? I was thirsty. I could have swallowed Sebago Lake in one gulp. Talk about water from a well, right? So now that's half the story, but I'll shorten the other half. But once I'd finished up a bottle of soda, and 2 glasses of water, slowly. It's not good for you to be that thirsty and drink it fast, you know. Then he told me, well, he said, did you notice? Well, I never notice anything, remember that? Did you notice that the ceilings have been damaged and blown in and that all of the insulation from the ceiling is all over this place? And no, I had walked on the insulation, but I hadn't seen it as I did. And sure enough, it was everywhere in this great big room. And he thought that probably that would be something I could handle quite nicely. So he brought out one of those industrial size brooms, the big bristles and the long handle, and told me, I can't remember if he gave me 3 buckets, but whatever, there was a place to go. And he left me to do that. It was kind of like one of those jokes that people talk about where you go to that very bad place and you think, well, what I've been doing isn't all that bad. And then you discover that that was your vacation break, and now they're going to send you in for the real punishment. Well, that's sort of how I felt, except I wasn't laughing about it at the time. I was more certain than ever before that I wasn't going to live through the day. So, well, I don't know how long it was later. I don't work that hard. It was really trying. So, but he came by, and he mentioned something about ordering pizza and having another soda break. And then he made a mistake, but it was music to my ears. He said, now, did you tell me you only had really half a day you could help me? I probably thought for 10 seconds, maybe 2, before I compromised my integrity and said, you know, I really do need to be back in Fort Myers. And so I headed out to the car. I think he was probably feeling bad for me. I imagine I looked like death warmed over. I don't know. But I turned on the AC in my car, and actually my heart just kind of went like crazy. But thirsty, so absolutely thirsty. And we know that you can die of thirst. Dehydration can be the end of your life. Well, with that said, let's turn to Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 6, and start with the good news this morning, reading this passage. And would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word? God is the one who saves me. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord gives me strength and makes me sing. God has saved me. You will receive salvation with joy as you would draw water from a well. At that time you will say, praise the Lord and worship him. Tell everyone what he has done and how great he is. Sing praise to the Lord because he has done great things. Let all the world know that what he has done. Shout and sing for joy, you people of Jerusalem, because the Holy One of Israel does great things before your eyes. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for these words. We thank you for what you have done in our world and in our lives. And we ask that you will speak to each one of us in the way we need to hear from you in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I understand if we'd been in Sunday school, we wouldn't even have to listen to this message because they told me they were talking about this same thing. So they may correct me later. That's all right. Correct me if you want to. What we just read was spoken way back before the Babylonian captivity, and it was preparing the people for the day when they would be free from what they had not yet experienced, but what the prophets had been telling them was going to happen if they didn't pay attention to God, if they didn't get their lives straight, and if they didn't listen to the voices sending those messages we talked about another week. You heard the first reading this morning from Zephaniah that foretold a time coming much sooner for them when the day of the Lord would come. Now, what I'm going to share with you isn't so much in that passage, but it is in the book of Zephaniah. And it's And it's about messages that God had given Zephaniah for the people. And there was sort of a threefold day of the Lord message in the things that he was saying. The day of the Lord was coming first because of the evil of their own kings and leaders and the lives that they were leading, encouraging idolatry among them for one thing and a whole lot of other misery going on there. And then there would be the day of the Lord, consequences for God's people in the tragic days when they would be taken away and everything would be destroyed. But the Lord would also be coming down hard on their enemies then, putting an end, you heard that, to the harm that they could do to God's people. And then the third day of the Lord would be a glorious day when all would be behind them. Redemption would come and their future would be full of joy. The messages in Zephaniah include reminders to the faithful. A handful still living godly lives in the midst of the wickedness of their enemies and of their own people. The reminder was keep on being faithful. Here there may be places of sanctuary and safety for you when the day of the Lord comes. Protection from God who promises to always have a remnant. There will always be a remnant of the faithful. God's people will never be annihilated. God promises that. We need to remember that ourselves in the midst of the days which concern us, in midst of the circumstances which are the here and now, which is where we keep coming in these passages this Advent season. So once again, we're looking back into the past on this journey with the faithful. If we scroll forward some, we go to the Luke passage that was read and see what happened during the time of John the Baptist after he came out of the locusts and the honey and the animal skins and all of that sort of thing. And while he had grown strong there and straight in order to prepare the way of the Lord, I like how prepare the way of the Lord goes with ready for the day of the Lord. In that second reading, we heard how John reprimanded, he really scolded those people as they came in droves to follow him. Brood of vipers, he said. They tried to say, but we're the children of Abraham. We're okay. He said, don't even try that one on me. Don't even go there. You haven't produced any fruit. Remember those trees? Remember the fruit? We talked about being part of producing it. We talked about plucking. We talked about being fruit, all of that. All those trees on the journey, we're part of that. Well, they weren't being part of that, and they weren't producing any fruit. And so he said, see, the trees are ready to be axed. In other words, people, unfruitful, dead branches falling from those trees, you are going to be released to your own consequences. What's interesting about this time is that the people were so drawn to John in that message. You know, he was doing this sort of thing to them, and yet they were drawn to him, and they just were anxious for his message. They were anxious for this baptism. They were anxious for what he was saying. They also had been waiting for that Messiah who had been foretold. And this, I understand, is almost a quote from Sunday school. That's what they were telling me this morning as they talked to me, that they'd been waiting for the Messiah to deliver them from bondage. And they expected a political leader, a national figure. And back in the day, that was something for which to look forward. Just so you know, that was a good thing. And so that's what they wanted. But even so, when John the Baptist came along, so unusual, so not looking like any sort of a political figure that they would be expecting, and he talked about repentance and baptism and changed lives, it had a strong appeal for them. Perhaps because of the laissez-faire of their own religious leaders, perhaps because they were tired of what was going on around them, and what was going on within them. And so they wanted what he was offering. They wanted this water, baptism, baptizing with water, what he was saying. what he said, they would have written on a Facebook page. But he said, I baptize with water, but the one who's coming after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Whatever that meant, they were all in. They wanted it. Could we say they were thirsty for water from a well like a well they'd never, ever seen, like water they couldn't understand, because then they would never be thirsty again? I think so. As we walk this week with the faithful in this story of God about the coming of Jesus, I wonder what it was like to be Zephaniah or John the Baptist that week, or Zechariah or Elizabeth. And that week, and we've talked about them being faithful. We've talked about their part of the story in the midst of their history and then looking forward to the future. What did they have except their belief motivating them to do what was before them to do? What did they have? When I keep saying to you, don't miss it. Don't miss what's right here before us in the here and the now, looking forward to the future and shaking your head at the people who didn't get it in the past. Don't miss it yourself. That's what I mean when I say that. Note how much the scriptures speak about people like us, you and me, people in their times, living in their places with all of the complications going on around them, and that past, and that looking forward to the future. And yet, in those places, many of them settled back and thought, whatever these people are saying, forget it. It's not going to make any difference what I do. It can't make any difference anyway, and what they're saying is going to happen isn't going to happen. The bad or the good, but they clung to the idea of the good. And so that's what they did, nothing. Discouraged and depressed and disbelieving, whatever it was that was out there being told to them, it wasn't strong enough for them to step out as the faithful did, the ones I just asked you about. What did they have? Well, I don't know what they had, except they believed it. And that made them different from the others in that they acted on it. They acted on what they could not prove, but they believed enough to put themselves out there among the people, the needy, the thirsting, the searching, and those who needed to hear about what could happen if they didn't get their acts together. And so they became the people in the story like we're supposed to be the people in the story right here. They hoped their voices would be heard. They hoped their examples would be followed. They hoped that doing whatever it was that was the next right thing. I have a friend who says that to me when I get going, what am I going to do? She'd say, just do the next right thing. Just do what's in front of you to do, but don't miss it. They realized that the one who loved them wanted to sort out the bad from the good, the wheat from the tares. We saw that. We heard that in the passages. And in their lives, as well as in the world around them, and use them to be, it would be giving them water for their spiritual lives. Their spiritual lives needed hydrating, or they were going to die a spiritual death. It's the water of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, moment by moment, as we follow those paths and we stop where the voice of God only we can hear alerts us to stop. I can't hear the voice of God in your ear. You can't hear the voice of God in my ear. So it's up to you to pay attention to that voice and stop for it. There are a couple of stories I've been thinking about to end with, and I'll summarize the one I was going to read to you, but it's a story I saw this week, and it relates to our celebration of the birth of Jesus, and because our messages have reminded us that we have to think about the first time Jesus came. Jesus showed us how to live. I repeat this, but I repeat this because it's so important. Jesus showed us how to live, not so that we could say, okay, and he will come back again and make it work that way. Jesus showed us how to live and then became a sacrifice for our sins, consequences of what we had done, so that we could be his people here. So what is it about being in the present and not moving and not moving from looking back to looking ahead, but being right here? It's okay to look ahead. I said that last week, didn't I? It's okay to look ahead. I'm not telling you can't look ahead. But what is it about missing this place and faithfully journeying here? What is it for me? What is it for you? I can't tell you. But I'm positive God is not silent. And God has been pointing out to every one of you where you can be the fruit, where you can care for the fruit, bringing water from the well or partaking of some yourself. There's a message for you to hear. I'm not the Messiah. That's not how I know it. But I know God. And I know God is not sitting up there in the heavens and thinking, okay, in the right time, I'll speak to them. Okay, in the right time, I'll have something good for them to do. In the right, there are too many right times for God to be silent now. There may be some special thing somewhere at a special time, but I just know my God has to be speaking to every one of you and speaks to me. All we have to do is stop and listen and move into it. So the story is not necessarily a true story, which is part of why I guess I won't necessarily read the whole thing, but it could be true. And I'll tell you how I know it could be true from a little story of my own, and then we will end the sermon, and we will go into the communion and meet at the table together. But it's a story a woman wrote about her life in 1960, long time ago too. She woke up with 6 hungry babies and 75 cents. The father had left. Not such a bad thing. Apparently it had been a pretty tough time at home with this dad, but he had always brought home enough for the food and enough for what they needed. And so he was gone, and the relief also turned to, now what are we going to do? She had $15 that he left them for groceries, and then that was it, the 75 cents in her pocket. And that, so she didn't know anything about a welfare system. She was in Indiana, according to the story. And so she got out her rusty old 51 Chevy and packed up her, she got her kids clean, shiny, packed them up, and she went in town and knocked on doors looking for a job. And everywhere she went, she just said, I'll do anything. I can learn to do whatever it is that you have for a need. And she just thought she wasn't going to find anything until she went to this place just outside of town, Root Beer Barrel Drive-In. We used to have a, what was it we called? A&W Root Beer. And they would come and bring our root beers to the side of our car, like when you go to a drive-in. I'm probably not supposed to speak about drive-ins from a Nazarene pulpit, am I? Is that okay? Okay, it's okay. Anyway, but she had this, but she's a different kind of drive-in. It's a truck stop. So she, this lady needed someone to do the night shift, 11 to 7 in the morning. And so she would pay her 65 cents an hour. She ran home and got some neighbor young lady who babysat and offered her $1 a week to take care of her children, or $1 a night. I guess it was $1 a night. Little girl could come in her pajamas and she could stay. The kids would be asleep. Sound like a pretty good deal. And then she went to work and started at the big wheel. she'd come home and you know, scrimp and save, because it was taking a lot of what she had, and that dollar was quite a bit of her tip money, she said. And then the next thing that happened was the wheels on the Chevy started to go, and so she would have to put air in them before she headed out at night. And then when she got in the car in the morning, she'd have to put air in those tires in the morning, and then the bills were mounting up, and she was having a real hard time. And so one bleak day, she said, she dragged herself to the car to go home in the morning. She found four tires in the back seat, brand new tires. No note, but those beautiful tires, and she thought, is there an angel out there in Indiana? So then she made a deal with the service station guy to work for him, to do cleaning on her extra day off so that he would put those on for free. And so now she's working all these days and spending all of her time and struggle. And so Christmas is coming. And she starts worried about her children and what are they going to have for Christmas on Christmas morning. And she cleaned up some old toys and got some red paint and was fixing those up in the basement. But still, I'm sure she was feeling pretty discouraged about this. And on Christmas Eve, you know, a lot of people came into the diner, to the inn, and they hung around. They sang some songs, and they talked and did whatever the truckers do and the people in the community did to hang around together. But they all wandered off before the end of her morning. She got out to the car. It's the part I don't want to miss. To her amazement, her old battered Chevy was filled full to the top with boxes of all shapes and sizes. Should I quickly opened the driver's side door, crawled in, kneeled on the front. There was a whole case of jeans, sizes 2 to 10. There was another box that had shirts that would match them for the children. And then there was candy, and there were nuts. And then there was everything she needed to make Christmas dinner. All the fixings, kind of like we've done trying to help the root cellar so that families can have the meals, Thanksgiving or Christmas meals. And then there were five toy trucks and one beautiful little doll. She said she drove back through the empty streets and the sun rose on the most amazing Christmas day of her life, and she was sobbing with gratitude. She said she would never forget the joy on the faces of her little ones that precious morning. I will remember a time when Paul had first gone to Florida for the job that he needed to be doing down there, and I was worried about the winter. You know, he left me all set up for a whole lot of things, but I didn't know who was going to plow the driveway, and actually, mostly it was my fault because, yeah, I had delayed in finding someone. Like now, I'm so thankful no snow for that reason, but I hadn't done anything about the snow, and we didn't have one of these winters. We had an early winter, and we had a whole lot of snow that was expected for the next day. And I had to be at church in the morning. And I thought, well, okay, I'm just getting in the car, and I'm plowing through it. Whatever it is, I'm just plowing through it. Well, I got up in the morning, and my great big driveway was plowed. I lived on Auburn Street in Portland, in case anybody's interested. And so I went to church, and I said, the anonymous plow driver came by and plowed my driveway. I don't know who that is, but I'm thanking God for this anonymous plow driver. Well, the next storm came, different time of day, and my driveway was plowed. The entire winter, again, I'll get emotional, the entire winter, I never could catch this plow driver. I thought first it might be a neighbor, but then we didn't have any kind of a relationship with the neighbor, but that would be the only person who would know when I was gone so they could get back there and plow my driveway. I didn't know, but I went through that winter feeling so blessed that someone I had never seen, or at least that I didn't know I could see, who didn't want to be identified, wanted to do this for me, wanted to give me this gift. And it was years later before I found out that it was a friend, a childhood friend of my husband's, but also a friend of mine who just wanted to come by and take care of the house and didn't want anybody to know, and probably would have been upset at the time if somebody had told me. So I tell you those stories Because in the whole of what we look at with these, don't miss what's here today. And when we say, well, what is it? What's for me to do? We're looking for something way outside of what may be there for us to do. And it may be that you can do something for someone who would be embarrassed if they knew you were doing it for them. But you can do it in a way that won't embarrass them. And maybe there's something else God is speaking to your heart about, but I wanted to throw those stories out because they are this season, and there are a lot of people whose hearts hurt and whose lives hurt and who need a touch from God. And that doesn't always mean the first touch has to be, here's the Bible, here's the passage, accept Jesus. It doesn't have to be that way. It's more the way of me or God taking care of them through me, especially if they don't even know it's me, because that's God taking care of them unknown. That's the message that I would share with you today, and share with you just a little bit of sort of a blessing. May God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve him today.